Hello and welcome to the Authority of Love. I'm here today again with co-host Adia Wushner. My name is Greg Williams, and we're excited because we are coming down the stretch run of the General Assembly. So first of all, welcome, Adia. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for being here, for both of us being here another week.
Yes. It's another Wednesday for women.
Yes.
And
yes.
we were just talking a little bit before we went on air here. We're a little bit, and it's a good thing, we're a little bit pigeonholed by the fact that we have to dwell on, and we need to dwell on, the things that are going on in the General Assembly.
Because we started about our first episode talking about, you know, Hello Gorgeous and all the things that we wanted to talk about that encompasses women and Scripture and who we are as women. And we still want to go back to that journey. We're going to come back to that.
Yeah.
But the session is kind of, and the General Assembly has kind of captured us, and we're trying to make sure that everyone who's listening has an opportunity to know what's going on in Frankfort and to understand it, and especially critical pieces of legislation.
Exactly. And with that said, many of these do positively or negatively impact women. I mean,
Very much so.
We've said that before. But in many cases, when we're talking about life and sex trafficking and these kind of things.
Human trafficking, life, children, care for pregnancy, all of those things, they impact women. And
exponentially more than men a lot of times.
Yes. Life. I mean, we've been entrusted, you know, we entrust our family, our families, along with our spouses and husbands. But again, our hearts just carry so much of this. Yeah.
So. Well, and you mentioned, my first question today is this. You were a legislator for 14 years, right? And so you know what this last few days running up to the veto period and then after all of the things that go on with that. Share with our listeners what it's like these last few days, and then we'll come back to some of the really important, why it's so important to call on these
things. And I think as we began, we talked about this is what we call the budget session, the long session. It begins in January and it ends on April 15th when the gavel drops. But we're now in crunch time. We've got about six more days of real legislative work. They're off today. Tomorrow they'll be in there. It's just going to be committee hearing days. Let's go back.
They were off Monday, right? They were off Monday. Right.
Then on Tuesday is going to be what we call hearing days. Usually that's a legislative day.
Right.
And then it's really going to be crunch day as we're talking on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, then moving into next week, which is also Holy Week.
So
they'll run through Wednesday, and then we begin this veto period where the governor can come in and veto bills. But what's happening in the General Assembly is you've got bills that have made it through the House, bills we still need to get through the House, and it's almost too late for those bills. You can sort of to veto protection and protect them and get them out early. And then you have bills, House bills that are in the Senate, Senate bills that are making their way to the House. And so you have a little bit of this tug between both sides, a dynamics. You also had the major piece of body of work for this session, and that is the budget that will operate the state for 2 years. So it has many, many components in that budget. Yeah. The Senate now has had it and returned. It began in the House. It went to the Senate. Now the Senate has passed it out, and they've returned it to the House.
Okay.
House will take another look at it, see if they've monkeyed with it at all, and if they want to make some changes.
If they want to monkey with it a little bit,
so it starts at the House, it goes to the Senate, and then, you know, they'll look at it. Did somebody take something out that they wanted, and then they'll have what's kind of concur. Do they concur? Do they need to make changes? Do they have to have a conference committee? And that'll be in those last 2 days when they come back in April.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because you've brought something to mind. When they're doing this, obviously the budget in this session has to take priority.
Yes.
Can that, from your experience, can that then be used sometimes to play games with other things, other bills that we would like to see through?
We don't like to say playing, but it's that tug of war. It's the dynamics.
Yeah.
We're waiting for a bill to come back from the Senate. We're holding your bill over here.
Right. We still got to get the budget done.
And somebody said, but aren't they all Republicans? Don't you have a majority? Yes, but it's the dynamics of the balance of the House and the Senate. You know, one is, I heard it said one time, when one is like the cup that's overflowing, and the other one is the saucer that has to catch everything and make it right. Sometimes it'll say, you know, we've heard the lower chamber and the upper chamber. Nobody likes to say that.
Right.
Or they say, you know, the higher chamber. Well, they're equal, co-equal bodies, you know, and we, of course, we have the administrative branch and the court branch, but they're just trying to work out the dynamics.
Yes.
And you have 100 members in the House, 38 members in the Senate, and they're all trying to do good also, not just for the bills that they've filed and the budget, but also to do good for their communities and worthy things.
You said that there's a tug of war going on. I can call it that because I haven't been a legislator, but there's times when they can use that leverage to get something done or to hold something up because it may impact their community.
Until you get to a point where you can say, legislative work is pretty ugly. It's like making sausage.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
Sausage is good, though. Sausage, yes. I love sausage. That's the kind of stuff that's going on here in the next few days. And it's kind of magnified 100 times, right?
It is. And so, and all of us that have things that we're working on external pieces of legislation, you know, it's frustrating. It's now trying to figure out how to get things done. Do we need to keep pushing our bill? But if we identify that that bill is going to be in trouble, it's going to run out, the clock's going to run out.
Right.
So then we might, you know, listeners may hear us sending out an alert and saying, support this, and then they might see a number change later in the week.
Right. Because so they need to pay close attention, right?
Because we've had to
combine things. Right. So what I hear you saying there is, and we're going to talk about some of these that we've talked about before, but when they come to you either through the website or some other
alerts that we send out,
make sure you pay attention not only to what the numbers are, because they may have changed, but what the core of those bills are to make sure you're on target and they're following through to call and email, whatever they may do.
And remember, what is so important, it's not any one legislator. Each legislator in the House represents about 42 to 50,000 people. We are, you know, when I served, we represent the people we serve.
Yeah.
And as a
Senate, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yes.
Right. And you hope
we represent the people that we serve. So it is critical, you know, to get those emails, to get those phone calls. We used to call them green slips, to look at those. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you can hold them up and say, I've had this many calls
Right. And that has an impact not only on you personally, but the others sitting around that committee or the House
Senate floor. This way. I'm reflecting the values of my community. And remember, even when we're presenting something, there's other people from the other side that are having people call and say, vote no, vote yes. They're lobbying for the
opposite. There's that tug
of
war you were talking about, right? That happens in so many different directions. Yes. Okay, so that's hopefully to help you as listeners, if you've not been there before, you've not experienced this, that's hopefully to help you understand why it is so important to stay in touch and to reach out and to pray above everything else, but then to take some action. So we've talked about several of these bills. What are some of the ones that you, in your role, want to emphasize as we come down the stretch?
Well, from day one, we have talked about our theme, love them both, with every woman, for every child. And of course, it has been House Bill 467, which is the perinatal palliative care. That's part two of Love Them Both, and House Bill 700. So we want to keep those bills moving. We want people to call so that they hear. Please tell your legislator, please vote, please support, please move these bills forward this session.
And let's remind our voters again, I'll start it and I want you to fill in. Love Them Both is a theme that they've carried throughout this to say, we want to love the mother and the child, and even the father, as the case may be. But in particular, let's make sure we're taking care of them. So 700 and 467, the two Love Them Both bills, really work to take out exceptions so that we really do protect
right? It comes back to people saying, now that we are, you know, we have the law that protects from abortion and from terminating the lives of a child in the state, but other people are saying, well, we need to make some exceptions to that. You know, a lot of the advertising. But instead, our response to that is, let's look at those issues. Let's look at the issues of sexual assault. What can we do? We want to make sure the in 700, the perpetrators of sexual assault are getting, you know, or that's followed through in the courts that piece. And we're also making sure that we address the needs of a woman who may be a victim or a child of sexual assault. So that's 700. And the other one is 467. And then somebody said, well, we need to have exceptions and change the law so that women can terminate the lives of the child if the child's less than perfect or may die shortly after birth.
Yes.
And so,
which they don't always know, by the way.
No.
I've got friends and family members that have had children that live way longer than was expected.
We were just talking about Senator Rex Santorum.
Right.
His child who
just
was
a few weeks ago.
That's right. 18 and is still alive today. So, but looking at that is palliative care comes along and allows for that genetic testing, allows for them to understand what's happening if the parents choose, but it just does require that those programs are out there. It also has bereavement and programs to wrap their arms lovingly around that mother, that family, that birth dad, as they make that journey with a, where there's a possible diagnosis where the baby may die shortly before birth or after birth.
One of the most difficult, I've done a few funerals in my day, and one of the most difficult ones was when one of my former employees, he and his wife had a baby that was stillborn at 37 weeks. And we honored that because I went to the hospital and they were holding the baby and letting the family see that. And then we followed through with a service to recognize the life that had been from conception on. That's part of what we're talking about here. Exactly right. Now, you've got some others, too, that are along these lines, right? One was the Safe Haven bill.
Safe Haven baby box. We've talked about that. We have Safe Haven laws in Kentucky. We needed to tweak it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we also added to that bill in a committee sub, so it's now part of the bill, that the 800 number, the Safe Haven 800 number, would be posted along with human trafficking and suicide 800 in the public high schools or in all high schools. We want it everywhere so that if there's that mom who, or a young woman who finds herself pregnant, she could look at that number and make a phone call and maybe be guided through that process. Right, so that bill,
which is 272,
which is Safe Haven, baby box bill.
And then Baby Olivia. Oh, yeah, this is the good one.
I know.
I mean, all of them are good.
346, absolutely. Baby Olivia. It seems to be hung up right now. Please, we need people to call on that to get it.
Remind our listeners of what that is.
Baby Olivia, and we've said if you ever want to just Google Baby Olivia and watch it.
Right.
But it augments, it adds to the sex education, which is now done in the schools, human development.
Yes.
So it's like, what's the outcome of sexual activity? Could be a sexual disease or a child, either way.
But to
see human development, you know, when that egg and sperm unite, and then it's a wonderful animation, it's a wonderful education piece.
Yeah.
And so it just calls for that to be used in public school and public education.
And Adia, I think this is pertinent because the reason the other side, whoever that other side is, doesn't want that is because it allows young men and women, children that are becoming young men and women in those ages, to actually see that there is life there.
Yes.
To see that, it really is life.
They know that, but really, because the other side, the new argument or the great argument from the other side now, from the dark side, is that life doesn't begin at conception. You know, so they want to.
Which they've known. If it doesn't, then why not show this? It should prove that it doesn't, right?
Yes, right? why not make sure that it's present there? Exactly. But, you know, I've said often when we've shown this video, you can look at the faces of young and old, but sometimes the children standing there with their parents and they're saying, that was you, you know, at the fair.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. So we got four there that we mentioned. There are many others. Those kind of take priority. Please call. Please go to the website. Give them the website again, Adia, and the number.
You can go to KentuckyKYRightToLife.org, or you can call our office if you have any questions at 502-895-5959. But more importantly, call Frankfort.
Yes.
That's where your voice really matters right now. If you want information, call us, but to call Frankfort at 1-800-372-7181.
Yep.
That is the legislative line. There are wonderful people there that will take your message and help you through and even help you find your legislator. So they walk you through it.
I've done it many times, and they walk you right through it, and they're very good. They're very objective about it, and it's wonderful. So
I'm encouraging people now, leave a message for leadership in the House and the Senate and all legislators.
All legislators. Session. That's what we want to do. So, again, thank you, Adia. Thank you for co-hosting,
you,
as always, Wednesdays for Women. And there's a lot to be done. Pray and follow through on that. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ. I'm Greg Williams with Adia Wushner, and you're listening to the Authority of Love.